Blog Talk Radio.
I do that every time. I say, welcome to the Money Mom Show before it's actually time to say, welcome to the Money Mom Show. I am your host, Sherry Gray, and this is a June edition of the Money Mom Show, and this is our final segment of Financial Legacy. Over the past few months, we've been talking about financial legacy, what it means, what exactly we do when we talk about financial legacy, you know, creating a budget, knowing what's coming in, knowing what's going out. We talked about debt. We talked about where your heart is. You have to get your heart right before you can actually even attempt to get your money under control. And this time we're talking about legacy. You can call in during the show at any time at area code 347-996-3266. With any questions, or you can contact me anytime. If you think of any questions after the show that you want to ask me, you can give me a call at area code 703-628-8968, or you can send me an email at sherrygray@themoneymom.org. That's S-H-E-R-R-I-G-R-A-Y @themoneymom.org. Now, the last show, last month's show, we were talking about debt. And the show is entitled From Debt to Debt Free. And the scripture of reference for that was Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7. And it says, just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is servant, and sometimes some versions say slave, to the lender. I talked about what I did wrong as far as getting into debt, like student loans, car loans, my husband signing up for a seminar to repair our credit, et cetera, et cetera. I also talked about how there are certain financial decisions that I would never make again because of what I learned from those experiences. I talked about getting out of debt and how the first step is believing you can be debt-free. Then creating a budget, what's coming in versus what's going out, and making the necessary adjustments if more is going out than coming in. I also talked about you understanding that this financial journey is a marathon, not a sprint, and it requires patience. And I talked about not giving up when you hit financial bumps in the road. It's going to take diligence, you not quitting. Whatever happens financially, you say, I'm going to reach that goal no matter what it takes. You have a focus, intensity to say that I'm not going to look to the left, I'm not going to look to the right, I'm going to keep my eyes focused on my financial goal, and I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up until I reach it, no matter what the circumstances are. Then, after the show was over, I started thinking, I said, you know what? I talked about all those things, and all those things are great, but then I realized that I hadn't actually gone over what you need to do to become and stay debt-free. I didn't talk about the mechanics. So I want to highlight that really quick before we go into legacy for this show. You have to list out your debt smallest to largest. Whatever the smallest balance is, you list that at the top of the page, the next smallest balance until you get all the way to the largest balance. What you do, after you have all your debts listed out, and sometimes that's the hardest part. Because I know for me back in the day, I owed so many people, I had no idea how many creditors I had, how much the balances were, and I had to check my credit report and contact old creditors. And it could be overwhelming, especially if you have multiple creditors. But it's a necessary step. And once you do it once, it's easy. So once you pull your credit report and you have, list out all your debts from smallest to largest, after that, it's a piece of cake because you've already done the hard part. Okay? So then we have them listed out from smallest balance to largest balance. And you've done your budget and you find any extra money you can find and you put that towards the lowest balance. The minimum payment on the lowest balance plus any additional money you can find, paying the smallest balance off first. Then when the first debt is paid off, add that payment to the next smallest debt, okay? And then pay that one off and so on and so forth until you're debt-free, not including your home. Your home comes later. After you save for retirement and save for college, then you pay down your mortgage. But anything not including the mortgage, you pay it down smallest to largest. Anything extra, you throw it at the smallest debt, and you work it down. So if I'm applying $1,000 toward my debt, and I'm breaking that up into, paying five different creditors, one is a, $100, one is $200, whatever the breakdown is, you continue to pay that same amount, that $500 every month or $1,000 every month, whatever it is, until you are completely debt-free. You're rolling the old payment into the new debt. You're going to roll that one into the new debt so that you maintain a certain dollar amount that you're paying towards your debt every month. It doesn't go down. Even though you're paying down your debt, that dollar amount you apply towards your debt remains the same. And that's how you accelerate your getting out of debt and how you minimize the time it takes you to get out of debt. So instead of 30 years to get out of debt, your whole working life, you're out of debt in 2 to 3 years. So that's how you do it. The last part of financial legacy, of course, what I talked about was legacy. One thing about legacy is it's about saving for the long term, not only for you but also for your family. So after you're debt-free, not including your home, you should save a 3 to 6 month full emergency fund. Your next goals should be to save at least 15% of your income for retirement, and that could be in a 401k, it can be in a 403b, thrift savings plan, Roth IRA, or traditional IRA. I recommend that people traditionally, again, put up to 15% of their, at least 15% of their income in a retirement. First, matching out or maxing out your 401k, whatever the matching is, 3%, 6%, whatever the matching is, max that out, and then after you've done the 401k, you invest any additional money that you have in a Roth IRA. Now, Roth IRA, to me, is a lot better than the traditional, because with a Roth, you contribute after-tax dollars into the Roth IRA. So you pay taxes now so that when you take the money out later, you don't have to pay taxes. So if you don't qualify for the Roth because there are income limitations, you may make too much money. If you do, then you have to go with the Roth IRA or other types of saving vehicles. So, and it's important because I'm not a investment professional per se, so it's important that you always fund a financial institution or a broker or someone that you trust, that you have known for a long time. You don't want to go with someone that you don't really know that well, so that's very important. Then after you've done that, your next step is to use any money above your expenses, above your emergency fund, above your retirement, and above your college. That's another thing. You have to save for college. If you have small children, save for college. So after you've done all that, you've paid down your debt, you've paid your expenses, you've fully funded your emergency fund, you save for retirement, you save for your children's education, then you start saving towards your debt. Any additional money you have above all that, you put towards your mortgage. Then after you are completely debt-free, including your home, use any extra money and apply it towards any additional savings goals that you may have. Actually enjoy spending some of the money, and also enjoy giving some of the money away. With anything that I teach with Financial Legacy, I teach giving, spending, and saving. All three are very important. You give because it teaches you that your money is not just about you, that you have to use your money not only to help your family but to help other people and your community as well. It's also for you to spend, to pay your expenses, and also to treat yourself sometimes, because taking care of yourself motivates you to want to keep working and in turn keep giving and keep reaching those financial goals that you have for yourself and for your family. And also saving. It's important to save, like in the retirement account, for your kids' college education. So all those three things are very, very important. So when you're completely debt-free, if you have any other savings goals you want to reach, put that money towards that. Enjoy spending some of it on yourself just frivolous things. It doesn't matter what it is. And also always, 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 always stress giving, 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 because our money, like I always say, is not just about us. Right now I'm going to take a quick break, and I'm going to leave you with the sound of Selah. This song is called All My Praise. This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I will be right back.
I will follow you through grief.
Welcome back to the Money Mom Show. This is your host, Sherry Gray, and this is the June 2011 edition of the Money Mom Show, and we're talking about financial legacy. This is the last and final part of the series of financial legacy. It's been awesome. I have thoroughly enjoyed talking with you guys about financial legacy. We've been talking about where your heart is. Your heart's got to be in the right place before you can even think about dealing with money. You know, we talked about budgeting, we talked about getting out of debt, and now we're talking about really the meat and potatoes of financial legacy, just knowing and realizing that your money is not just about you. It's not just about you. One of my favorite books is called The Purpose-Driven Life, and that book was just powerful to me. And one of the first things, and it may have been the first line in the book, I can't quite remember, but the line was, "It's not about me." And I thought, wow, because so much of our lives, so much of my life, you think it's just about you, and you realize your life isn't just about you. We're here to share of our time, share of ourselves, and share of our money to help bring other people to the kingdom, to bring other people to the throne of God. That's why we're here. And we can't give if we don't have it to give, so it's vital that we get our money in order, not only to help ourselves and our own families, but to help our community at large. It's just amazing that something as simple as doing a budget can impact someone's life so profoundly. But as I always say, there's power in writing things down. If your goal is to spend less than you make, if your goal is to become debt-free, if your goal is to pay off your mortgage, if your goal is to have $1 million by the time you retire, if your goal is to save enough money so your child's education is fully funded, if that's what you want, you've got to write it down. It's not just enough to have a vague notion of what you want to do with your life financially, but you have to know what it is, you have to write it down, and you have to speak it into existence, and you have to actually start walking it out in your everyday life. And that's the part that I find people have issues with. The starting is awesome, but the finishing sometimes, it can be overwhelming for you. For me, it can be overwhelming, but just stick with it. If you don't quit, you're going to win every time. And one of my prior newsletters that I wrote, I talked about loving your family. It was in February, which is the month of love, so I focused on love. And I asked the question, do you love your family well? Because, of course, we all love our families, but the question I posed was, do you love your family well? And the first question I asked was, do you have a will? You have to have a will. To love your family well, you got to have a will. A will tells the state and your loved ones what happens to your money and your minor children in the event of your death. It can also have a medical directive attached to it so your loved ones know your medical wishes if you're physically incapacitated. If you're not in a position physically to tell your physician or your family, your loved ones, what you want to happen to you medically if something happens to you, if it's not written down, your wishes won't be fulfilled. I remember the case of Terry Schiavo in Florida with a sad situation, but it's just one example of why it's important to know, no matter what age you are, to have something in writing of what you want to happen to your money and what you want to happen to your children and what you want to happen to you medically if you are physically incapacitated. It's so important. If you don't do anything else today, go out right now and research getting a will. It's so important. The last thing you want is for your state to determine what happens to your money, your children, or your life. You don't want that to happen. My next question was, do you have adequate life insurance? And most people say, well, I have insurance with the company that I work for. Well, that's awesome. It's great, but most companies only give you 2 to 3 times your income in life insurance. You need more than that. I always recommend 8 to 10 times of your income in 20-year level-term life insurance. You must have adequate life insurance because what happens is that if something happens to your mom, something happens to dad, they need that income. They depend on your income to survive. And if you don't have adequate life insurance, they're in trouble financially. They're already grieving for you, mom. They're already grieving for you, dad. They don't need an additional stress of money on top of that. You need to get adequate life insurance. And some moms or stay-at-home moms, they say, well, I don't contribute financially to this family, so why do I need life insurance? I beg to differ. Your role as a mom has a dollar. You love your children, do it for love, But if you're no longer here, your spouse is going to have to find child care. They're going to have to pay for things that you used to do. You know, maybe someone to come in and clean, maybe someone to, whatever it is that you did as a stay-at-home mom or as a mom in general, even though you do not contribute financially to the household, if you're no longer here, there is a void financially because they have to now find someone to do what you did, and that costs money. So whether you actually have an actual income or you don't have an income, if you're a mom and you don't work necessarily outside the home, you have to still get life insurance, okay? It's very important. Do you have long-term health care insurance if you're over 50? Do you have that? If the answer is no, shame on you. Long-term health insurance is insurance for you if you, again, become to a state physically where you cannot take care of yourself and you have to be in a nursing home facility or have some sort of long-term care. And the last thing you want is for you to save out your entire working life to have a retirement account, to pay down your home, and to get to the last 10 years of your life or however long it is, you're in a nursing home or long-term care facility, and you have to go through every dime you've saved. You have to sell your home to pay for the nursing home stay. You don't want that. You don't want that. So it's very important to have long-term life insurance, long-term care. And a lot of employers, you can buy it through your employers. You can buy it through a regular insurance broker. But if you're over the age of 50, I always recommend that you have long-term care, long-term health insurance, okay? And I also ask, have you saved for the future? Have you put aside a small emergency fund in case your car breaks down? Have you, you know, start thinking about retirement, start thinking about college? Have you really thought about saving and really, and the thing is, even if you want to save, but you have debt and you don't have the money to save and you're just barely making it, this is why you put the plan in place. This is why you write down your vision. You write down a budget. You tweak your expenses so that you make more than you actually spend. You have to start writing these things down. You have to have a vision to save for your future because if you don't do it, nobody else will. Leaving behind assets. I ask, do you have assets? It's very important because, again, like I said, our money is not just about us. It's about leaving a legacy. It's about leaving the financial legacy that you can be proud of. And I talked with a group of kids the other day, and it was awesome. And I talked with them about financial legacy. And, of course, they're very young and, you know, they've got a long time to think about these things yet, but it's important that we plant these seeds into our children when they're young because when they get older, they may stray away from things, but they always come back to it. So even if your kid's as young as, you know, my daughter's little one is 7, I teach her about, you know, giving and saving and spending and all that. So she already knows all about that even now. And, you know, teaching kids young is so, so, so important. And we want to teach them to leave a legacy. We want to not only have a spiritual legacy, but we want to have a financial legacy to them. The Bible says, I think in Proverbs, it says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. You have to leave an inheritance to your children. It's very, very important so they can pass on what they learn from you to their children, and it goes on and on and on. And I told the kids, financial legacy is making decisions about how you use your money so that others can look at your money choices, see the positive impact on your life, and want to do what you did. That's why I always say that money is not just about you. It's about leaving a legacy, a financial legacy to your family, and giving to your community. So when they see the rewards of your work, they'll want to do what you did, and they will in turn pass on what they've learned to their families and so on. One of my favorite quotes is by Maya Angelou, and she says, when you learn, teach. When you get, give. That's awesome. When you learn something, you're supposed to pass it on. It's not just about us. Your family, especially your children, learn by what you do and not just what you say. Tell them what's possible financially. Show them do what you do, and they'll follow in your footsteps. That's true financial legacy. This show is the end of my financial legacy series. It's been awesome. It's been great. And I've had a ball talking about it. And if you don't remember anything else I've taught, number one, it's about a legacy. It's about taking care of your business financially so that your family members will be taken care of. And while you're still here, teach them what you did right, teach them what you did wrong, show them the right path financially, not only by what you say, but by what you do. And the only way you're going to do that is by speaking it into existence, writing your vision down, and actually walking it out, okay? Next time I'm going to be talking about cutting your budget and getting great products through couponing. It's going to be called Couponing 101. I'm into couponing now, so I'm going to be talking about it. And the next show, which is going to be July 9th from 6:30 p.m. to 7, I typically have my show every second Friday of the month from 6:30 to 7, but this time it's going to be on the second Saturday of the month because I'm going to be home in Mississippi. So I won't be here that Friday, but it will be back on board second Friday, 6:30 to 7 in August. But July 9th, 6:30 to 7 is going to be my next show. And again, the Money Mom Show streams live every second Friday, except for July. It's going to be second Saturday of every month from 6:30 to 7 at blogtalkradio.com/themoneymom. Or you can call in at 347-996-3266. You can listen to recordings of past shows at my website at www.themoneymom.org under the Archives tab. Remember, it's up to you to decide if you're going to change your heart, change your mind, change your habits, believe you can create a financial legacy to be proud of, and take the necessary steps to make it happen. This last song is called Believe, and it's by Elliot Yameen. This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I'll see you next time.
You say that everything is over. I say that we can find a way. I'm here and you can think it over. I'll keep waiting, I'll keep waiting. I say there must be a solution, some way that we can both agree. Why should it take a revolution just for you to talk to me? And it all comes down to what you think. Because one mind changes everything. And I believe that breathing makes you free. And I believe that love, our destiny. And I believe in things I cannot see, like faith and joy and peace and hope and never be the same. I speak, but you don't want to listen. Easier to walk away. Slow down, wait a minute.